Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast. It is June 21st, 2023, and I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from its Hits and Takes section, stories from the First Read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous edition of the newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to check out our history of trading videos on johnlothiannews.com on the MarketsWiki Education page, including the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. From the looks of it, the London Metal Exchange is fighting in court and in the court of public opinion as it fights a lawsuit from Elliott Capital Management and Jane Street this week in London. Today we have two stories with an inside the LME bent to them, each starting with a Matt Chamberlain angle. The stories are The Day Nickel Trades Gave LME a Rude Awakening from the Financial Times and What Really Happened the Night the Nickel Market Broke from Bloomberg. It appears the LME is ready for the battles it needs to wage. Are you one of the worst 168 golfers working for an FIA member firm, then there is a spot for you in the FIA Operations Americas Division July 31st Chicago Golf outing at the Arrowhead Country Club. The tournament participation is capped at 168 golfers, but more participants can choose between a golf clinic or a networking dinner-only option. All the funds raised from the event will go to two Chicago area charities, the Greater Chicago Food Depository and the Greenwood Project. Actually, I am the worst golfer who is an FIA member, so you only have to be one of the 167th worst or best golfers to participate. NYSE notice about trading for the 4th of July holiday. In observance of Independence Day, the New York Stock Exchange, NYSE American Equities, NYSE Arca Equities, NYSE Chicago Equities, NYSE National Equities, NYSE American Options, NYSE Arca Options, and NYSE Bonds markets will be closed on Tuesday, July 4th, 2023. On Monday, July 3rd, 2023, markets will operate on a shortened trading schedule. Regular trading sessions will close for all markets at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1:15 for eligible options. NYSE American Equities, NYSE Arca Equities, NYSE Chicago Equities, and NYSE National Equities will remain open for the extended trading session until 5 p.m. Eastern Time. The Wall Street Journal has a multimedia presentation and story titled Five New Farming Technologies That Tackle Climate Change Threats. The five are self-planting seeds, wearable plant sensors, high-tech hives, vertical farming, and robot fruit harvesters. The New York Post-esque headline of the day comes from the Financial Times in a story titled Pasta Producers in Hot Water Over Soaring Prices. JLN needs someone who can talk to Esma Awas, our new host of Options Discovery, about the JP Morgan covered call ETF. The Financial Times has a story that says $10 billion pours into JP Morgan covered call ETF this year, and I think that would be a great subject for Esma to explore in Options Discovery. President Joe Biden and someone named Et Al have written a commentary for Bloomberg titled Climate Change and Poverty Are Our Era's Existential Battles. Here's a piece of California real estate news with some history and metals involved. The former summer cottage of former President Herbert Hoover in Monterey, California, has been listed for sale for $2.395 million, the Wall Street Journal reports. Hoover and his wife, Lou Henry Hoover, bought the rustic home from her family in 1913 for a $500 gold piece. The trade news has some coverage of IDX. The stories are located in the lead section of today's JLN. JLN head of video, Patrick Lothian, has found a new AI tool that takes a video and edits it to find some of the best short takes from it and turns them into vignettes with subtitles. The video is in a vertical style so as to be displayed on a phone. There's an example in today's newsletter of a video presentation given by Richard Rosenblatt of Rosenblatt Securities from a talk he gave at a MarketsWiki Education World of Opportunity program we put on in New York several years ago. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a video from our OIC coverage. Lauren Arbid talks with JLN about how ABN AMRO Clearing finds success by sticking with its core DNA. John Lothian News interviewed Lauren Arbid, Director and U.S. Head of Relationship Management for ABN AMRO Clearing Chicago LLC at the 2023 Options Industry Conference in Nashville, Tennessee, about the fixed income market, interest rates, what's next for crypto, and her role with the Security Traders Association. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, Vanishing ice on highest mountains threatens quarter of humanity. A new study says rapidly melting glaciers in Hindu Kush Himalayan region can trigger floods, landslides, and over time drastically reduce freshwater supplies in 12 rivers. Rapidly melting glaciers in Asia's Hindu Kush Himalayan region, home of the world's highest mountains, are threatening the lives and livelihoods of as many as 2 billion people downstream, according to a new study. The glaciers thawed 65% faster in the 2011 to 2020 period compared with the preceding decade and may lose 80% of their current volume by the end of the century on current emissions trajectories, the International Center for Integrated Mountain Development, or ICIMOD, found in its latest study. This may, over time, drastically reduce fresh water supplies in 12 rivers that flow across 16 nations in the region, it said. My comment. There is good news and there is bad news. This would qualify as bad news. Very bad news. Here's a story from Crane Chicago Business. Miami media, Anna Mayer's aide, give Ken Griffin a truly warm South Florida welcome. It was out of control crime or high taxes or the weather. Lots of theories as to what motivated Ken Griffin to transplant himself and the headquarters of his Citadel financial empire to Miami have been circulating this year. Now there's a new one. Miami's mayor knew how to make Griffin very happy in his new home. My comment. Everyone needs a butler with a side job as a mayor who takes his pay in Bitcoin. Here's a story from The Guardian. Canada is on fire and big oil is the arsonist. Governments need to represent us, not fossil fuel profiteers. We need plans to phase out fossil fuel production and emissions. Canada is on fire from coast to coast to coast. Thousands have been evacuated, millions exposed to air pollution, New York a doom orange, and even the titans of Wall Street choking. Catastrophic flooding in Pakistan, back-to-back cyclones in the Pacific Islands, and droughts in Africa haven't been enough to create a tipping point for action. Now the climate impacts have hit the economic capital of Western power, will it spur governments in the global north to get serious? A lack of scientific knowledge about climate change is not the barrier, nor is a lack of cleaner, safer, cheaper energy alternatives. The IPCC said as much last year. The barrier is vested fossil fuel interests putting their profit above our safety. my comment. Let's just say this is a five-alarm headline. Here's a story from the Financial Times. The headline, "Murky World of Global Food Trading is Too Important to Ignore. Dominance by a handful of companies over the flows of grain and other commodities deserves much more scrutiny." Perhaps it was the ancient nightmare of the middleman merchant that made them all so aloof and secretive, wrote Dan Morgan in his 1979 book, Merchants of Grain, the old fear that in moments of scarcity or famine, the people would blame them for all misfortunes, march upon their granaries, and confiscate their stocks. My comment, concentration, lack of transparency, and lack of competition is never a good thing. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. X-ray vision, a surprising source of recycled silver. A process that recovers the metal from old X-ray film is a sign of the jewelry industry's move towards more sustainable practices. The ripple necklace by jewelry label Angharad encircles the neck in delicate undulating silver waves. It's a fluid organic design, and like all the silver pieces created by London-based designer Megan Griffiths, it is entirely made of silver extracted from old medical x-rays. X-ray films contain emulsions of silver halide crystal, which are light sensitive and create the images that we see on x-ray files. My comment. Sounds like Clark Kent needs to buy Lois Lane a silver necklace for her next birthday. Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our most read story on Tuesday was the Trading Technologies press release. Trading Technologies establishes new FX business line, TTFX, appointing industry veteran Tomo Takuyama to lead initiative. Second was FIA Tech enhances trade data network to support operational resiliency from FIA Tech. Third was the LinkedIn post from Expiry about Julie Ross's first interview for JLN at IDX with Expiry's Guy Malamin. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from the Financial Times, as referenced earlier. The day nickel trades gave LME a rude awakening. Judicial review hears of exchange's actions in March 2022 when it feared market had turned disorderly. When Matt Chamberlain woke up at 5:30 a.m. on March 8, 2022 and glanced at metals prices on his phone, he immediately knew something was wrong as the chief executive of the London Metal Exchange scrolled through his mobile, still bleary after dealing with emails until nearly 11 p.m. the night before. He became alarmed at the speed at which the price of nickel was rising. By 5:53 a.m., the nickel price had jumped 30% and was going up. I had never witnessed such extreme price movements, Chamberlain says in court documents. There was no doubt in my mind that the market had become disorderly. Just after 6 a.m., nickel prices had soared past $100,000 per ton, up from $60,000 when he awoke. The next story is from Bloomberg. The headline, "What really happened the night the nickel market broke?" Hundreds of pages of legal filings to describe how the LME sleepwalked into a crisis, unaware of a massive short squeeze centered around the metals giant Zhenghan. Matthew Chamberlain had just presided over one of the wildest days in history of metals markets when he sat down to type a late-night memo to the UK's financial regulator, but the London Metal Exchange's chief executive was optimistic. It was the evening of March 7th last year, and nickel prices had surged as much as 90% to an unprecedented $55,000 a ton, causing huge strains across the market. A large Chinese bank had missed a margin call in the hundreds of millions of dollars. The Financial Conduct Authority was beginning to demand updates. And then here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Google Cloud launches anti-money laundering tool for banks, betting on the power of AI. The company is looking to set itself apart from a crowded field of surveillance platforms by reducing the amount of human input in the process of screening for money laundering risks. Financial institutions have long relied on human judgment to calibrate systems that help spot potentially risky transactions and customers. Now, Google Cloud wants them to let its artificial intelligence technology to take greater control of that process. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling friends about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.